The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Hello, for lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora, welcome to The Real Pod. My name's Jane Yee. I'm joined by Duncan Grieve. Samuel is on the tools. It is Celebrity Treasure Island week four. But first, I'm just going straight into it. Oh, did you hear that? It was my stomach. Did a big old growl. Did you get that? I'm hungry. That's the real news. No, Same. Here's the real news. Hey You has launched in Aotearoa. Now, this is right up our alley. It's a reality TV network. It's pretty cheap if you sign up now. I think it's like
you can get it for $80 for the year, I think.
I know, but you can get it half price at the moment.
What the what?
And yeah.
Is this sponsored?
No, but well, I just think it's a good deal, and I think it's relevant to our listeners' interests.
It's really relevant. So this is an NBC Universal product. Has Below Deck, Real Housewives, that whole kind of universe on it.
A lot of stuff that you can find in random other places, but curated all here in one spot, but crucially, the releases are in step with the US.
That is quite crucial because, man, do we like?
Yeah,
we wait at the behest of the kind of programmers and down here for some really important shows. Look, I am extremely up to date on Below Deck Down Under. I don't know about you, but
no, I'm
it's
not.
A cracking season. Like, it is so good.
There's been a lot of trust lost. In Below Deck.
Well, I'm watching
reviews.
It the old fashioned way now, okay. Like in, you know, like as if it was a normal show. Yeah. I'm watching like an episode or two at a time weekly, and honestly, it's extremely good.
Well, I have just started watching to celebrate the launch of Hey You. I have started watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season 1, episode 1. So that's me for the rest of my life. There's 13 seasons to get through.
It's kind of scary when you get into something with that much material. Like I'm that with Alone,
yeah.
as I've talked about on this
yes.
podcast recently.
Really?
And I just smashed out another season. But I'm just going to have to be really disciplined with it because it could easily be the only thing I'm doing. But I start Rec Room next week. I've got to do my CTI and just generally be a person of the world. But if it was up to me, I would just go in a cave and watch Alone.
You'd do Alone.
Yeah.
You could do Alone and just survive by watching Alone. That's a meta version of the show. In other news, I know you'll all be very excited to hear this. Alex Casey returns next week and we are excited.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
She might have news. She might have some real news.
I'm sure that she's bumped into some famous people along the way.
I'm sure she might have had things happen to
she
her.
She might have had things happen. She's travelling with her long-term love, John Lennon, of course, as coined by NASA. That's a deep cut for the cornies. But we must move on because there's plenty of action on the lake. Here's reality check.
I have 4 weeks to decide if I'm going to drop my entire life for you.
I am disgusted at how much you have copied my husband.
You just bought.
I don't even know you. Reality
check. What week? What another week?
I'm loving this show.
It's still so good, eh?
I think it's one of my favourite seasons ever.
Well.
I know. Because, but I will defend that statement because I think that it doesn't have the same, maybe the same kind of toppiness, like the, but there are no duds. There is no one for whom when the camera cuts them, you're like, oh, these guys again. Like, and that's rare. And I think that's been the case basically right through.
Yeah, it's true. It's a fantastic cast. I do have some thoughts coming out the back of this week. But we'll get there. We open the week with Blair doing a Running Man, which was, I thought, quite a good Running Man. I don't know if you clogged it. And then I was like, wow, Blair can do a pretty good Running Man. And then Laura did the Worm. And I'm like, it's crazy what that woman can do with her body. She does the bloody splits later on.
Laura,
on the slip and
Laura
slide.
Is such a, like, she's so good.
Yeah.
She's like, because she's funny, but she's also very, like, in this.
Yeah.
Like, emotionally. But she's also, like, because she's got this kind of singing, dancing, comedian,
she's
like,
entertaining.
Whatever she's doing, she's, like, putting on a show. She's,
yeah.
She's, I really think, and she's also, like, she's a celebrity who doesn't feel like they're acting the thing. Like, it's, she's
yeah.
just kind of a perfect, perfect cast
member. It does feel like you're getting the real Laura, and I do totally appreciate that kind of the two sides to her, that raw emotion side as well as the comedic side. And we also got to see another side of Steve Price, the side that wears Krusty the Clown pyjama pants.
Steve Price, I just feel so, every week I'm like, why did you say that thing about him stealing meetings? It's so thin and so, like, who cares, and so historic. Because now I'm just, like us all, I'm a huge Price head.
I'm a huge Price fan. The Price is right.
Yeah, I'm a value shopper.
The charity challenge, the first charity challenge is the ping pong blowing horseshoe thing.
I didn't watch this.
Yeah.
This is the first one I've skipped the season. I was just watching it. This is bad TV.
Some of the charity challenges, I think, are a little on the cheap side this time around. A little, I don't know. Where's the? I don't mind a cheap, like, cookie down the face thing. Some of them seem to go along a long time. I loved the ones on my season, but that's probably because it was my season, you know?
It's quite funny. I don't know. Listeners at home, sharp-eared listeners at home will notice that whenever there's an opportunity, Jane will talk about her season, how bad every other season is.
Just it's not how bad every other season is. It's just
how not as good it was.
No, I don't necessarily think mine was the best season to watch on the telly. It's the one that I lived. So, you know, it's much more
I'm
visceral.
I'm just having fun
it's
with you.
It's much more visceral for me. And I have to say that it really is, you really, really, I mean, I think Steve Price is the perfect example when he talks about fucking winning something, being as nervous to go into some elimination.
As a grand final. Holy
You
fuck.
Are so in it when you're there. And I know you hear people say that about all sorts of reality TV shows, and it does go a long way to explaining some of the, like, bonkers behaviour people do, even though there are cameras around. You are so in it, and you do just get so close to people so quickly. But anyway, face off. James got the sneak peek card. He gets to have a practice, which I thought was a huge advantage.
It was, yeah. Especially, like, getting a... It's not just a look at the course, it's a look at the letters.
It's a look at the letters, which he then promptly takes back to his team. They figure it out because they're all a bunch of geniuses, and it gives them the most unreal advantage you've ever seen in a challenge.
The other team just not knowing, it's like, how should they do that? The crazy thing is the other team come up with a perfect anagram.
Yes.
That is totally plausible to be a phrase.
And it's also...
I think they should let them through.
Yeah, totally. It's also like... very topical.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. It was almost better than divide and conquer.
Yeah, divide or conquer.
Divide or
which
con-
is the other thing.
It's not
the phrase. But I suppose it was alluding to the fact that you were. No.
I mean, there's a way you can make it work.
It still should have been divide and conquer because this is the point where you start as a group and you end up as an individual. Now, this is what are they? They're holding bloody balls on top. So much balancing, so many towers and a lot of balancing. This would have, you know.
I didn't even understand how they. Some of these tasks, you're like, I don't think they'll ever complete this, you know, especially because it's windy often.
Oh, so much wind. So Nick gets to the end first. Laura's just right behind him, but he fails to realise he's got to put his ball down his particular coloured chute. And so Laura feels bad that she's able to take this from him. So she's like, you know, you go first, mate. You've got to get it in your yellow one or whatever it is. Well, that bloody backfired, didn't it?
It was a crazy thing to do, to be fair. But that's Laura.
That's Laura. So Nick wins a massage, takes Laura and Steve on this massage. And this is where this is like the moment that Nick turns into a fucking fierce player.
I love
absolutely nowhere.
Nick. Like the way that Nick is just like, I need to be able to compartmentalize how I feel about these people and how I need to kill them all.
Yeah.
And he's so matter of fact with it. You're right. He it's such a big change. And you go from thinking, oh, he's just one of these kind of bubble boy, beautiful, muscly men, to like, oh, he's like...
He's a weapon, man.
He's a total weapon.
And he's a strategic weapon. I think the key thing that we've forgotten to mention here is that the merge was happening out the back of this challenge. So now it's every man for himself, and that is what has shifted Nick's perspective. So I forgot, like Laura, and he wants to put up Eli and who?
Courtney?
Matt.
That's right.
He wants to put up Eli and Matt. Laura, obviously best friends with Eli in an alliance with him, or an Eliance. And
very good.
Thank you. And they, can't believe we haven't done it earlier. She's pleading Eli's case. She's basically bringing on the tears. It's a very real reaction. Like, I just basically don't want my friend to go home. And at this point, I've even forgotten that she let him win. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty rough if Nick puts up Eli after sitting with Laura. And then she's like, oh, no, let him win. And I was like, oh, my God, that's actually brutal.
Yeah, that's where you really see the steel in him, because you could even be a sort of very hardcore player but still say, well, yes, because this person effectively gave me the win, I'll give them a veto. That's not that big of a thing.
No.
But it was obviously of tremendous meaning to the person who gets it granted them. And he's just like, well, you got a nice massage. You can have this massage while you cry and think about what's about to happen.
Yeah, and I suppose there's probably an element in his mind where he's like, technically I did kind of win it. I just got a little confused at the end. And honestly, people get confused during those challenges. And I know that everyone's playing under the same conditions and everything, but it can be really rough, I think, particularly when we see Jazz's elimination, when someone just has a brain fart moment and you're like, oh, God, that's
quite, I want to talk about that, but let's wait.
Okay. We also see quite a pissed Laura out the back of this. So she's sad in front of Nick, but when she's in the moments, she's quite pissed off.
Mm.
I'm quite excited to see that side, and I hope we see more of that kind of like
Laura with an edge. Yeah,
bit of fierceness come out. The elimination is, of course, Matt and Eli. It's puzzles and puzzles. It's a little key in a box, and then you got to do a puzzle, and it's so frustrating watching Eli do his upside down, inside out, back to front, and Matt.
But Matt, it's frustrating. But Matt just seems like paused with it half done, but also not done at all, because none of it was right.
I know.
And so Eli got to make it and unmake it like four times?
Four times.
While Matt just sort of sat there waiting for it to sort of do itself.
And also just look at what Eli's doing in copy.
Anything but leaving it a third done wrong, yeah. And hoping that it'll sort itself out.
I'm so curious to know how long that whole thing took, but I love Matt, and I kind of wanted Matt to win that because I felt like he needed more screen time. Like, I've seen heaps of Eli. I mean, obviously Eli's a friend of the pod and I love Eli too, but I feel like Eli's going to go a long way. But I was sad to see Matt go.
Agree.
I just think he's a nice guy. I hope his DMs are blowing up.
Well, I mean, the main thing is, he needed to go because he only had those two pairs of jeans and nothing
else.
That's
true. That's bad strategy right there.
It's the ultimate boy pack.
He thought about his closing line. I always appreciate when someone thinks about what they're going to deliver as their closing line. Squirt you later.
Squirt you later was so good. But they almost didn't linger on it or do enough with it. But it was, I guess it was just an acorn, you know.
We're marching right along to the next episode in which Turia does this amazing, huge, long rundown of everyone who's remaining on the island. Just like massive airtime for her.
Turia is amazing.
She's really, really good.
She's so funny. She's so original, like in terms of like
your type of humor.
Yeah, exactly. And she just feels like this kind of really distinct character that absolutely runs the show. Her and Masterpick just sort of trading in the moments to kind of trading periods being the narrator to drive it along is a big part of why the season is so fun.
Now, Turia and Courtney are two people I wasn't particularly familiar with when they did the cast announce, and I knew, of course, that one of them was a comedian, which is Courtney, but having watched it, I keep thinking Turia's the comedian because she's so funny.
I know.
I mean, Courtney is also very funny.
Courtney is. Is it this episode where Courtney has her sort of emotional breakdown? I found that so affecting because I could just so imagine like someone who's like, there are some people on there, you know, the likes of Laura and, you know, Steve Price and so on, who are just bold-faced names, celebrities, unambiguous. But there are a whole bunch more who are actually kind of on the cusp on some level, and Courtney fits into that category. But, it's so easy to imagine the imposter syndrome you'd feel, and this once you get into this mode of, like, well, I know how to be funny on a stage in a kind of controlled environment, but am I being funny enough? And just that, and you're not in a situation where you can go to any of your familiar kind of comforts, whether it's talking to your friends or whatever, you're just stuck in your head.
Mm.
And you see it just boil over in her, and it's so affecting. Because she's amazing on this show.
Yeah, she is. And the one thing that you hear people say a lot on this show, whether it be in their exit interview or if they've just won an elimination or whatever, is that they're so proud of themselves and they're really surprised at what they achieved, and they you know, did things that they never imagined that they'd be able to. And that's where that comes in with that face off that Courtney won, but won. We don't know if she would have won it. She might have won it by her own skills, but Nick ultimately gave her a deal and jumped off the pyramid footholdy thing. And giving her the win with a, you kind of deal with it, right? So her whole thing in that moment was like she didn't have an opportunity, or she chose not to
prove herself, yeah.
Which sounds, you know, like might sound lame when you're at home watching, because of course you're like, that's a great deal, take it. And it was a great deal.
And she should have took it.
And she should have took it, and she did the right thing. But I know, having been there, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But having been there, I know that kind of thing of like wanting to prove yourself, because you see other people around you doing these amazing things and like pushing themselves beyond their limits and winning things and being rewarded.
But
it's
not only that, right? Like, and again, I'm just sort of guessing at it because I haven't, unlike you, been on the show
yet.
But you would, it feels to me like it would be very easy, because there are these challenges and certain people naturally win them, whether it's puzzling or sort of physical type challenges, to sort of start to feel like that is on some level a verdict on their merit as either celebrities or even humans. And therefore, when you're not in that category, like there's something deficient about you for not being able to or not having won that. And that's sort of how it felt like Courtney was starting to conceive of herself as well. And it was just, it's heartbreaking, because as you watch the show, you see how, you know, how funny, how deft, how personable, the sort of high-low culture stuff that she does, like she's just excellent, but you just can kind of feel how that would come to be, especially when the opportunity kind of came to her because Steve Price fell in the water, and that naturally knocked seven people over.
That was amazing.
And
right?
I feel like that has been an underrated aspect of that scene, was just one man weighs, I don't know what, but certainly like a very...
He created a wake in the water.
And it just knocked over seven people.
It was amazing. So good. It was so good. And the three people who it didn't hit were the three that were standing
and furthest away.
Was least affected by the Steve Price bomb. I think when you zoom out and take a macro view of the game as well, it's actually... the people who don't win stuff, if they last the longest, they've had the biggest achievement, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, you can win the game. It is a game.
Yeah.
And you can win it by winning a lot of stuff, or you can win it by just knowing how to navigate the waters.
And navigating the waters where you're not winning anything and not creating a target on your back.
And not getting immunity all the time.
It's a strategy, and it's clever, and it's a skill. It might not be I can stand the longest on the thing, but it is a skill, and arguably one that might serve you better in the real world anyway.
Yeah, mostly, I don't know about you, but maybe this is an unconventional workplace, but we don't do a lot of standing on little bits of wood for the longest. Mostly it's, you know, navigating all of the sort of criminology and the sort of subterfuge and internal politics of this organisation, you know?
Just stabbing each other in the back all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting that no one fell off either on those first two rungs. You know what I mean? Like, not everyone made it up to the top.
But I think they were 5 minutes is just not that long.
No, but they probably would have had some jelly legs and that kind of thing. I think I would have done okay in this one. Maybe not on the final bit, but certainly I stand on the side of my feet all the time, and I've got flat feet. I would have been able to have my feet perfectly flat against the side of there.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah, I don't know if it is. Anyway, I definitely would have gone down with Steve. Oh, that sounds rude. Sorry.
No, I think it's okay.
Okay. Interestingly, the deal that Nick cut with Courtney was that she, part of it was that she wouldn't put him up, but also that she takes James for sushi because really he's been a good captain. And I like, I at the time I'm thinking there's a strategy here. He's, you know, he's got some sort of deal with James that we don't know about that James might be able to influence.
No, he just thinks James is a nice man and did a good job as captain.
So Nick, while being kind of brutal and strategic, is also still being a nice guy.
Yeah.
Way to play it.
Then they go for this beer.
Yeah.
Which should be, look, obviously I'm a person who's got a particular fondness for beer, but I think it's rude, frankly rude, the way people keep interrupting the one nice time, not the one nice time, but, you know, like this kind of, the whole time you're there, as Courtney says, you know, you just want to have a beer and a hangout. And you're in this beautiful location, and that's happening to them. And they, instead, they just receive this endless parade of like grasping people trying to get a favour out of them. It's like, well,
how dare Jimmy James Masterpick did point out it was like being on The Bachelor, and it was a lot like that, like, can I steal you for a second kind of vibe.
Totally.
There's absolutely no way people did that off their own bat. Production,
I know,
100% made that happen.
I'd have refused though.
Production could have easily taken them off far away where they wouldn't be overheard or interrupted. So it was part of the story arc. And this is where we have who goes up to talk to them. Mel comes in.
Blair Strang.
Yeah, Blair. Mel's freaking out a bit because she's realising now that she's in the merge, she doesn't have any alliances.
It's quite amazing, really.
She offers Courtney her clue to keep her safe
No one really knows. It's like, you know, with basketball, people understand that in the NBA, they understand the value of a first round draft pick and what it will roughly get you. I feel like someone needs to basically explain what the value of various clues and scrolls and, what are they called?
Do this. Watch the fucking show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but watch the show.
Because Nick later on gives away
the same thing, his card.
For like, as Courtney says, for like basically like 30 cents in the dollar in terms of the value of
it. It's always worth a lot. I think it might be worth bargaining if you know you're going to be put up and to get out of that. Mel was never on anyone's lips. And so she just basically follow through on her promise and gave away her treasure hunt clue, just wild. Blair, as you say, go up. Jazz went up. Jazz is in a similar position, I think, to Mel. She's realising pretty quickly that any alliances that she had earlier on are probably not kind of in play anymore. Blair stops by, doesn't try to save himself. He's just there to represent Steve and Nick, his bros.
The Steve and Nick bro alliance is quite powerful.
It's extremely powerful.
Yeah.
And it's something we've seen before, and I'd like to see it not happen again and again and again.
Well, I don't mind it because it feels like it's them against the world this time around.
Yeah. What I find tends to happen is that people they're happy to put up one, but they don't ever put up both because they know then at least one of them will come back and like then take them out.
Well, yeah, but everyone knows it, so you might as well just be kind of really upfront about it, I think. And at least when you put up both, you're going to have one of them down and their alliance is busted.
But that's what needs to happen.
That's what needs to happen.
But people don't do it. This is the same with Art and Lance. They'll put up one but not both together when they have the opportunity to. So I hope next season, if you're listening and you get the call up, and you head on into the island, if there's two strong blokes there, put them up against each other at the first opportunity.
Next season, they're not even watching the show. They're not going to be listening to a podcast about the show. Let's be honest. There are no future celebrities in our audience right now.
Podcast.
Past celebrities, sure.
I want to say.
Current celebrities, but no future.
In the Discord, there are a heap of cast members.
It's pretty good.
It's really pretty amazing, including Courtney's dad. Courtney's dad is in the Discord, wanting us to rag out on her. It's such dad energy.
Beautiful.
Discord link, by the way, is, I don't know, somewhere
in the show notes.
If we don't have show notes for this, it's the Substack. Yeah, it's there. It's in the Substack show notes. You're probably there anyway because you're a Substacker. So you're like full on in. Okay, then we have the swing block stack type elimination between Blair and Steve. And Blair is Zaddy. He is Blair Grills, and he is now also the eliminator, except for...
He gets eliminated.
He gets eliminated. amazing closing line from Blair. I love you all, my fellow celebrities.
Was just an absolute gem. Like, in terms of people who you went in sort of unsure about what they would deliver, man, just insanely great performance.
Like, put him back on the telly, would you please?
Yeah.
It saddens me to think that he's just gone back to the lawyer's office.
No, he's still on YouTube, still researching aliens that he actually believes in. Which, I did some research at the back of this. Guess what percentage of New Zealand's population...
Why were you recording The Fold at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon if you had time to research aliens?
I did this over the weekend, actually, my own time, okay. Thanks. What percentage of the New Zealand population believes that aliens have visited Earth in some recent time span? Like, quite specific.
I know a lot of people who are skeptics, but I also know there's heaps of the country that I don't know, and so I'm going to say 35%.
Bang.
Really?
Yeah.
Exactly 35?
Well, like a third.
Holy
no, it's 31.
Shit.
The thing is, I know that there is other life out there somewhere. It's a big universe, you know? Like, come on. I don't think that's a crazy thing to believe. But to think that they've been sort of secretly visiting and potentially interfering in, like, 50s US presidential elections, it's far-fetched to me.
And speaking English?
Yeah. And then there was another stat in the same survey.
Oh, my God.
Sort of feels relevant, certainly relevant to James Masterpick's interest. This is the belief in psychic powers.
Oh, yeah.
Can you get a take
a guess? I reckon higher again, 43.
58.
Oh.
Yeah.
People love to believe
this. This was in 2011, which I reckon was peak sensing murder credulity.
Right, right.
So I'd love to see the same survey done again now that they've sort of faded from the popular consciousness to some extent.
Blair's gone. The Swing Tower Challenge thing. It wasn't particularly complicated. Blair was not particularly good at it his time. He was too cocky. Got in the elimination ring, thinks I can do this. And
you got to think, like, Steve Price, as well as being this hulking man mountain who can do a lot of things physically, is also like a hyper-competitive, state of origin level sports person.
He has to do strategy in sports, and he has to do mental fortitude.
Yeah, you do though. Like, you've got to maintain your focus in these like really intense situations. So,
okay, and we go on to the next episode in which the charity challenge is the straw lollies. Nick wins it for Butter Bean Motivation. Congratulations. It's a bit of a coup starting up against Nick and Steve at this point. And the other thing that's happening is Jazz is starting to feel really alone and isolated. She's hearing people talking about her. These are like several conversations that are being held within earshot of her where her name comes up. Your paranoia is like through the roof when you're in this situation. Oh, yeah. It really, like, any time. There's a certain stage of the game. Anytime anyone talks to anyone else, you assume it's about you. If you actually hear your name, like in the middle distance,
forget about it. So is this around the time when she sort of says, oh, my TikTokers will come and get you? Or was that from earlier?
What we've seen is like from way earlier, but it was like a joke, right? She was just like,
I think she was saying it sort of half jokingly, half with a sort of, well, it's inevitable kind of lens.
I don't feel like it was a threat, though. I feel like it wasn't in the moment. And she said, who beats me?
It cannot be a threat, but also be something that you're just aware is going to happen. But then the fact of you saying it out loud while on camera kind of makes it more, you know, like it's a bit of a mess.
I do think it was majorly overblown by Turia and whoever else got on board that. Because honestly, like, I wouldn't really be scared of that. Like, well, I don't know that I would actually find that intimidating.
And really? Then, yeah. I don't know. Like, if you're like...
Do you reckon Steve Price is worried about...
No, but it depends who you are and where you make your money. Like, if you're a person who relies on a social media ecosystem to earn your money, the idea that there might be swarms of kind of young super fans just killing your comment sections...
Turn off the comments. It'll blow over.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's a legitimate fear for a certain kind of person.
I genuinely think Jez would go on if that started happening and say, don't do this.
I agree.
And they would listen.
I agree.
I don't think it was anywhere near what it was made out to be in terms of kind of painting Jez like this villainous person who was going around making threats about her TikTokers coming. I think it was I think a better reason for Toria to put Jez up would have just been to say, I don't really know. She's the one I know the least. I have no relationship with this girl.
Like, she's really, really good.
You know? She is really good, yeah.
Like, she's super.
She with a secret kind of, like, could have gone a long way, kind of under the radar kind of person.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that would be, you know, I thought there was a real logic towards putting Jez up. And the logic was Jez could win this thing so easily, you know?
Yeah, right.
She's really smart. She's really fit.
She's been in the elimination rack. But then... Okay, there was, we have to quickly talk about the McDonald's challenge because, you know, shout out to the sponsor and all that. But there was the – I just am wondering how this food – I never got the opportunity on my season to find out how food might wreck your system. But I reckon just like suddenly chowing down on a Big Mac and stuff after not eating, does that not – I mean, I feel like it makes me – it upsets my tummy even on a regular week.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think you're worried. Like – you're just so excited to have a Big Mac or Samoa.
Curious to know where the nearest McDonald's is to the lake.
Yeah.
To know about the
well, if it's down in, is there a McDonald's in Wanaka? Oh, I should I'll look this up while you chat.
There absolutely is, but how far is that? Like, what's the drive? What's the drive time?
Well, or the helicopter time.
Whoa, helicopter and McDonald's? That would be insane.
I mean, I'm saying. Just, wow. Just saying.
So we're doing some.
No.
There's not.
There's an ODT story about people.
Being
about
upset.
There being fake news that McDonald's had bought a site.
When was that?
But this was in 2017. So it has to come from Queenstown.
It's got to be airlifted in that case, surely.
Yeah, so I think it has to come that way. Unless,
but it still needs to get from the McDonald's to the helipad. Then the helicopter trip, which I'm sure it's not like just jumping off in a car. Like, it probably takes a little bit of time.
Or could it come in like a sort of an Uber Eats-y kind of bag where it stays reasonably warm and then they put it in like a pie warmer type thing?
Soggy.
Production. If you're listening, please explain how the McDonald's is
transported
and how it is made to be good. Or a contestant, can you explain if it was like cold? Could you still eat
it? It was 100%. I'd eat cold McDonald's anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't, I don't have to be starving.
Year old, straight off the top of the fridge.
Or if you're Mike McRoberts, if you're Mike Potter, I forgot his name already. That's so sad.
Yeah, you did not. You just said it wrong.
I did say it wrong. I was actually going to say Mike McRuffy.
Mike McRuffy? What?
From when he did The Masked Singer and he was Orange Ruffy. Oh. And that was one of the names he called
him. That's fine.
Wow, that's so embedded. Okay. Jez just doesn't want Toria to win because she knows Eli very close. So Eli and Jez's friendship, obviously they're like really close. It's not been shown up until this point because Eli gives Jez the heads up that, you know, Toria's sort of coming for her.
And she, I think rightly, would probably rather not have known.
Oh, yeah. That would totally freak you out. And then to get into that challenge where it's like between her, like you couldn't write that shit.
Nah.
How does that happen, that it happened to be down between those two?
Unscripted drama at its finest.
I'd like to give some advice to production. If someone hasn't featured on the show heaps and heaps and heaps, like Jazz has been on the show plenty, but she hasn't been on heaps and heaps and heaps, and then suddenly in the show where you know she's going up for the elimination, she's like riddled throughout the episode, you can always tell who's going home based on the episode edit.
See, I wish you'd never told me that.
Sorry. I've just done an Eli thing, haven't I?
You have, yeah.
Do you want to bleep it out? No. I think
our audience is sophisticated enough that they've probably figured out where I haven't.
Yeah, they're probably the ones who put it in my head anyway. Okay, there's an auction.
The auction is insane. Some of the bids.
Steve Price.
Come on.
What is wrong with
that? But also some people kept their money. Like, you can't take it home with you. Like, it's everything about it. Really,
you shouldn't be allowed to team up with other people.
Yeah, that shouldn't be allowed, for sure.
For sure. And Steve Price just paid so much money.
But just almost nothing. For a tin of sardines.
Okay, but they didn't know what they were getting there.
But I feel like you know that the first one is going to be...
a gag.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm just totally boggled by is him paying all that money for shampoo and conditioner.
But then everyone was like, he needs it.
Yeah, I get that. But you can bring toiletries on the island.
There's so much of Steve Price that you probably go through a bottle a day.
Right. Anyway, I've also had a thought, like fresh water, you can actually wash your hair in that. We were washing our hair in seawater. It's like absolutely futile.
But is that okay? Like it feels
like
disrespectful.
No, but you can get some water out of the lake.
See.
You know? Yeah. Anyway.
Can you remind me whether there are toilets? Like portaloos?
It's like an industry secret. This is the one thing I can't talk about is the toilets.
I can talk about it. There's portaloos. There's like long drops.
Okay, good.
Stop it. They didn't come from me, by the way.
No, they came from the Discord, actually. People in the Discord are willing to talk about it.
Okay. Where are we? So, Courtney and Jazz, ultimately, the most important thing that comes out of this is that Courtney and Jazz get a scroll between them that enables, this is a whole new one we've not seen before, a redo of any challenge or elimination or what have you. If you're not happy with the result, you can ask for a rematch. I'm loving some of the new advantages that we're seeing come up.
They're really significant, and they elevate the sort of tension of the game.
Yeah, and you're also getting them in places that aren't, like the auction, for example, isn't based on your skill in a challenge or being the captain or anything like that. So it feels like a more diplomatic way of meeting out the the advantages and them being proper game changing advantages. So we have the whole TikTokers thing that we've already discussed. Turia and Courtney make a rock solid alliance. Like a, we may never speak again, but it doesn't matter because between you and I, we know we've got each other's backs. And then we get to the elimination, which is Steve against Jazz. This should be anyone's game, right? It's balls rolling down a chute. You've got to, after 60 seconds, add a second ball in. You've got to run back, catch a ball. Always have the balls on the chute, basically. And Jazz just duffs it at the moment where Jaden says you can put your next
You have to
ball
put a second up. Ball on. I think there's part of me that thinks she duffed it sort of knowing Like she didn't take it as seriously as she might otherwise because she in her head she'd got to do it again.
Maybe I don't
because it was such a big obvious.
No,
like,
but I don't.
Duff.
Think you did, but that's
or do you think,
way
she,
too
do you think it fell out of her hand?
No, I think he said, and you can put your second ball on when you're ready. And she just heard, and you put your second ball on. I honestly think she had a brain fart.
So the way it's supposed to work is that you put your ball on, wait a beat.
No, you have to wait like, you know.
Yeah,
like
that's what I mean.
We'll
wait until it's like halfway down, put the second ball on, run down, grab the first,
but
and you're trying to keep the thing
but
going.
But in those first cycles, you need to be working out in your head because you know ultimately there's going to be three balls up there.
Yeah.
So you can't just time it halfway down. It's got to be like a third and a third.
It
looked
like it would be very difficult to keep it going with three.
Yeah.
But to put it just straight on.
Yeah, that's why I think it was just a brain fart. I think she kind of had like probably counted in her head what she needed to do and then was just like, right, so I just need to do this, but just didn't compute. What happened next was, so that was like the world's fastest elimination, like it was 60 seconds or something. It was just wild. What happened next is completely mind-blowing to me on so many levels. So Courtney and Jazz have this card. Courtney says that they've agreed on a symbol, which is like a shot that if you want me to use it, just do the signal, right? Jazz doesn't do the signal, so Courtney doesn't go to save her. Jazz is looking at Courtney, going, "When are you gonna do? You know, when are you gonna step up?" They've got 30 seconds. What I don't understand is if they share this, why can't Jazz just go, "I want to use the thing"? Why doesn't Courtney just yell out? It's not like people don't know.
No, but maybe it's because of the tension of like this is being shot for television that you kind of that would feel like it was breaking character in a way that sort of doing this or something, you know?
Yeah, maybe. But Courtney also could have just yelled out, "Do you want me to use it?" Like,
no, but she didn't need to do that because in her mind, at least if we're to take her at face value,
I just think the stakes are too high in this. It's someone going home. So
yeah, but if you've already organised something, you can imagine them. Then it's sort of on them to make the signal.
I don't think Jez knew about the signals.
But how could you not know about the signals? There's only two people in that conversation.
But I feel like that needed to be addressed on the telly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there needed to be a closer of Jez saying, I didn't know there was a signal, or I completely forgot about the signal, or something like that. In the real world, again, having been there was nothing stopping either of them. Just unless there was, they were told beforehand, the decision belongs to Courtney and Courtney alone.
Well, no, but I also think 30 seconds is a really short amount of time.
Short,
when you've got all of the sort of machinations of, you know, they really are shooting that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can imagine, like, let's just say that Jazz knew about the signal but thought it was just obvious that you'd take it given what happened, and then was just sort of flustered by the having to go through the motions of having lost.
And she also would have felt like an idiot, honestly.
Courtney was just scrutinising her hyper-vigilantly and just not seeing anything like the signal going, oh, well, I guess she just thinks maybe it's time, or she can't possibly win that against Steve or something like that.
Yeah. I have so many questions, but yeah. And Jazz would have felt like an idiot for what she'd just done. Like, she knows that's on the telly, and that would have been running through her head too. So you can see how someone would just forget. What I wrote down is the miscommunication. It was a miscommunication.
It was just, it was very, I feel for Jazz because I think she was a really strong player, and it just sort of felt like she went from being really in the cut to the whole thing caving in on her in about 15 minutes of an episode.
And it was that, it's that the post-merge effect where suddenly everything changes, you don't have the security of your team around you, and it can really get into your head. Exactly the same thing happened to me. But also, it just was really quick. It was just like a really unsatisfactory ending to the episode based on the challenge. We didn't really get to see an elimination challenge.
We didn't get to see the challenge, sure. Yeah. But it was satisfying in the sense of moving the plot along.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to see, like, you know, the comedians, you've got to give it to them. They have got a big nuggety core.
I'm starting to feel like this is a problem. I feel like this is a problem.
There's four of them left. Out of what? What have we got left? Like seven people?
I think I don't know again if I'm just bruised from my season, but when you've got
a little bit
heaps of people who know each other before going into the show and are some are best friends and all that kind of thing, it's such a huge advantage. And then some people who don't know anyone.
But when you think about, okay, who's left on the show? We've got Turia, we've got Mel, we've got Steve, and we've got Nick. That's the four that aren't the four comedians.
Yeah.
They should 100% be in an alliance.
Yeah, I think Turia's in with the comedians, though. She's in with Courtney.
Yeah, but why? If I'm Turia, I'm like, these four are like professional colleagues, and some of them like live together. They live together. Are they really looking out for me? Because it's like they're 50% of the population now.
I just think, again, a note for producers for casting, just mix it up a little, don't
Well, no, but
I think you can have like one person, you know, but like...
Disagree, though. Like the comedians have been so crucial to the entertainment of this
season. They have, I agree, but you can also get comedians who are highly entertaining who aren't necessarily all like extremely good mates.
But I don't think they are all extremely good mates. I think that, like, you know, James is from Dunedin. He hasn't been like part of that core.
You've never worked in the New Zealand comedy scene. They're all bloody doing shows together. They're all at the classic and the basement.
I know. Look, I've been around it a little, but I think that there are, I think Eli and Laura are really, really close. And I think this is just a guess, but like James and Courtney don't hang out with those two like every weekend going to barbecues. I think there is a little bit of that line, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You may be right. I have this conscious bias. I'm bruised about celebrities who all knew each other, and then a whole bunch of normies who didn't know anything about anything and all got picked off one by one.
You've got a whole office full of normies who really love you.
Thank you very much. Please don't eliminate me. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. Alex is back next week, which is very exciting.
Thrilling.
Thank you, Samuel. I don't know why I made that weird guttural noise just then, and I think it's the perfect way to end the show.
From the Spin-Off Podcast Network, you've been listening to The Real Pod, hosted by me, Jane Yee, along with Alex Casey and, most of the time, Duncan Grieve. Our producers are Tiahe Butler and Samuel Robinson. Thanks for listening.
Kia ora e te iwi, Tiahe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off.
If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.